Please be seated, won't you? Well, good morning. Why is it that when we look at other people, we decide their value because of the shade of their skin? Why is that? Why did we pick that part of our biology to distinguish different people? Why not the length of toenails? Or perhaps whether your eyebrow meets in the middle or not? Or why don't we choose to sit with people only with our shade of hair? We don't really think about it, maybe on the sense that the melanoma in our skin is really just one part of a huge part of our body, and it's a small little piece, but yet our racism that's existed throughout history is based on that one thing. And I think we're often unwilling to see others as children of God. And even in our best efforts, if we're honest with ourselves, racism still exists sometimes within us and within the society that we're a part of. When I was reading this gospel, and one of the exercises that I often do is to try to imagine what the scene looked like. This is a little bit of a preacher's trick in which you try to get into the scripture for the week and you try to imagine, where were they? What did the ground look like? What did the people around them seem to be doing? Where was this conversation taking place? It would have been near the Jordan, in a grassy meadow maybe. What might the people have been wearing? And when you do that kind of exercise, you know, you kind of wonder, what did they look like as people? And the funny thing is, we don't really know for certain what the race of these folks might have been. We have only our own sort of projection. And yet, when we listen deeply to the message that's being spoken of today in the gospel and in the rest of the story, as we like to say, there's a story in which we are called to see the people that we encounter as children of God. We sang that beautiful hymn to begin the service, "In Christ there is no East or West, in Him no Greek or Jew." And we often don't maybe recognize the divisions and the difficulties of the world that Jesus came into. We don't recall that something like 95% of the world lived in some kind of slavery at the time. And so Jesus comes into the world and He begins to gather His disciples. And He's walking and doing His work, and they're gathered. And in this day, we hear this beautiful imagery where Jesus is walking and John the Baptist says, "This is the one." And we hear of the first two to follow Jesus. The first two in John's gospel. And there they are, Simon and Peter, coming and saying, "Rabbi, teach us. Messiah." Messiah is not a word that we use in our language very often. We might think of Savior. You know, someone's going to be the savior of the sports team, or the savior of the business, or the savior of politics, or the savior of this. Someone's going to come in and fix it all. And that Jesus was the chosen one of God that would right the world. And if we listen to the gospel, what does the gospel tell us? Or what do Jesus' actions speak to us about? But of love for fellow humanity and love of God. That loving God comes first, and through loving God we can then love what God loves, and that's the people around us. That's the leper and those who are cast out and those who are cast down and those who are different, those who are not like us, those who might also seek God. And we hear even in Paul's writings of the eunuch that's converted, and we begin to hear story after story of people after people coming to God through the actions of Christ. And Jesus says, if you have a little more food than you need, to share it with others. And if you have clothing, to share it with others. And if you have wealth and attachment, to be rid of it and to share it with others. Why? Not just for the sake of doing that, but to see that God loves them as much as God loves you. The world's trappings can enslave us and cause us to no longer be willing to see our neighbor as the child of God that they are. Why is it so hard for us not to judge others on the color of their skin? A few years ago, I started a practice on every Martin Luther King Day, and I'll talk about this in a minute, a little more, of listening to some speeches that happened around that time, to remember and to recall and to study. And every time I do that, I hear something different. And a few years ago, I was sort of struck. One of my son's closer friends is an African-American little boy, and they come together and play pretty often. He was at the house last night. And you don't really think about it. It doesn't really occur to me that there should be any concern or thought, or he's just another kid. And I don't, Asher, I know you're in here, so I don't think Asher sees any difference in his buddy or is aware of it. And I remember that little part of Martin Luther's I Have a Dream speech, and when he talks about the time when children might play together, and I think, and I'm inspired that the dream has come alive in some ways. But we still have a long ways to go, don't we? We still have a challenge in how we might treat others or how we view another person. I want to challenge you in your walk in faith to work on this in your own life. To work on seeing the others around you as children of God first, and not what the world says they are first. It's a deep challenge, and I think it's one of the hardest things to do. It's the kind of thing that when we really try that, or when we really focus on that, we see the world differently. How many of you got cut off in traffic this week? Anybody? How many of you cut somebody off in traffic? There they are. Just see them, raise their hands. You can talk to them after. What's your first reaction? They're a child of God, and they might be in a hurry. I should say a prayer for them. If we're really honest, how many times do you guard your wallet or clench your purse or have a moment of fear? How often do you worry when you see someone that's different than you or get concerned? Those are learned reactions. And more often than not, they're completely wrong. I think the beauty of the gospel and the challenge that I always hear in the gospel is to overcome that. Is to be willing to take the risk to see others in the beauty that God created them. It means to see them as equals. One of the great things that I love about the liturgy is in a few moments when we come forward to receive communion, everyone in this room can come forward to receive. And when you put your hands forth and you receive the bread and you take the wine, you will receive it. You are given, in our understanding, the gospel in that moment. And it doesn't matter your station in life, whether you're wealthy or poor, whether you're sick or healthy, whether you're white, black, or brown, or pink, or yellow, or whatever the shade is, you'll be received in that moment in God's kingdom. It's a beautiful and amazing thing. One of the great things that we had a chance to do in seminary was to go and to have internships, and one of the more sought-after ones was to have a chance to go spend time with a particular professor named Charlie Cook. And Charlie was this kind of great Texas guy, and he was from Lubbock, and he just was everything you would imagine someone from Texas could be. And he was mysteriously groovy and a guru because no one could ever find him outside of class time. He had this amazing ability to disappear at the seminary within a minute of class being over. And there was a joke where the whole community would say, "Have you seen Charlie? Where's Charlie?" You go to his office, he wasn't there. The library wasn't there. But he was also one of the wisest teachers that we had. And this particular internship was one in which we would go for about 3 weeks and go to Atlanta. And we'd work in some soup kitchens, tour the churches, and we had a chance to meet some of the civil rights leaders that were still alive, and also to worship at Martin Luther King's church. And I remember having all kinds of weird expectations when I would go to that particular Baptist church. I don't know what I was thinking, but I just thought it would be completely different than anything I'd ever experienced, and it really wasn't. When I walked in, it had that famous old church smell. You know what I'm talking about? It's sort of burnt wax with coffee, spilt pancake syrup, old bacon, dirty diaper, old wood, moldy kind of church smell. We don't have it here right now. Just give us some time. It'll be back. And the pews and chairs that they had were just comfortable enough, but not too comfortable. And there were old pictures around and things that had been put in a certain place that could never be moved, just like any other church that you've been part of. They had crosses and an altar, sort of, and a place for the choir. They had a picture of Jesus, like a picture we might have of Jesus, a Bible, pianos, and an organ. Everything was basically like what you and I might be used to. The difference was, instead of most of the people being white or of European descent, most of the people were African American. But the God we worshiped was the same. And the scripture we used was the same. And much of the tradition that we listened to and the hymns were the same. And much of everything about that day was the same. And it was a profound moment for me in a realization of my own perceptions that often were wrong. They even had bad coffee. So why is it that we have such a hard time, that we judge so often by the color of a person's skin? I want to challenge you in the week ahead to really think about this. Tomorrow, if you have some time, listen to one of the speeches that Martin Luther King gave. Recall in your own life how you might prejudge another person. And work on it. Work on changing that first response, that first thought. Be willing to say the prayer for the person who cuts you off in traffic, and to say that they're a child of God that's just in a bigger hurry than you. Be willing, when you see someone who's different than you, to see them as loved by God as much as you were loved by God. Be willing to know that God makes no distinction like you and I might make. And then that dream, that really is Jesus' dream, that we all might be his disciples, becomes a little more real. In the end, God doesn't distinguish us like we would distinguish us. God sees us as his beloved children. And he yearns for us, that we might know his love. And he yearns for us that we might love each other as he loves us. And that we might look to our neighbor and be willing to love them. So why is it that we judge others by the color of their skin? Amen.